Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with your host, Calican CEO, Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Brian Duncan. Brian is the founder and the chief madman of Field Laboratory 7. Thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, definitely my pleasure. I love that. You know, chief madman, you know, it's we're talking a little bit about, I think, you know, anybody who's a business owner, we're kind of mad in a certain sense, you know, wanting to take all the responsibility, but it's the funnest thing, right? And we wear all the hats and the all the fires that we have to do and everything else that goes along with it. But it, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world, right?
Neither would I. Yeah. I think of it like kind of like a ship voyage across the ocean where I just have to keep steering the course.
That's it. That's it. You know, have that map. And sometimes we got to reconfigure our GPS and everything like that, but it's cool. Just got to keep going. So awesome. Brian, I'm happy to have you on today. Today, we're going to be talking about a lot of cool stuff. Obviously, you know, talking about your background and how we kind of got to Field Laboratory 7, talking about that. And also talking about a few cool topics, legal for trade scales, and product formulation development and CBD products for dogs, and specifically with our arthritis, and talking about the story behind that, why that came about and how that's going. And so a lot of cool stuff to talk about today. But, you know, before we get into the hard stuff, I always say we'll start off easy, right? So let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
I'm in the mountains of North Carolina, in a little town of Seven Devils.
Seven Devils. Any correlation between Seven Devils and Field Laboratory 7? Or just coincidence?
No, I just got lucky with that.
Nice. And how's the, you know, North Carolina, right? So talk to me a little bit about the scene a little bit in terms of cannabis, hemp, everything like that. How are things going there in North Carolina in terms of maybe legislation, but also in terms of, you know, culture, stigma, people accepting it, adopting, or otherwise?
The hemp market is in North Carolina has been coming along for a few years, and North Carolina has been very good for the farmers in helping to promote it and lowering the barriers of entry into the agricultural markets. We don't have a cannabis program in our state, so I'm sad about that. But you know, we keep trying to push for a legislative change, and right now there's a Compassionate Care Act going through the state legislature, hopefully to legalize a medical marijuana program. So I'm anxiously tracking that. And, you know, a lot of good legislators are really promoting it. And there's a lot of support. But in the state altogether, there is a bit of people will often see the hemp industry also sometimes with a negative view. They'll since cannabis is illegal here, they'll sometimes kind of see that in a poor light. Although it's just like everywhere else, where everybody I know really it enjoys the new emerging markets. So
no, definitely. Obviously, it's sometimes change is slow, and sometimes change being slower, I think, is not a bad thing, you know, in terms of adoption and legislation, because I think sometimes you see some states that just want to jump in real quick and they don't really have the best motivation, right? You know, it's just kind of the legislators trying to join in on the green rush, so to speak, and trying to make some money and not really having the best interest in mind. And it creates a lot of problems down the road. So I think, you know, we've seen the few states that have kind of taken their time a little bit more. It's kind of been to the benefit of the patients, the person who, you know, or people who really actually need it can benefit from it, as opposed to just, you know, corporations and that kind of stuff on those lines. So talk to me about yourself, right, Brian? So talk to me kind of your past with cannabis and what led to you kind of here with the development of Field Laboratory 7?
Most of my background has really been in software development. and making lab instruments, systems for pharmaceutical companies and manufacturing facilities. And over the past couple of years, in my previous job, I was working with Legal for Trade Scales and developing just an amazing touchscreen deli scale. And as I started looking into, first, I got to say I'm a scale geek because scales, they're legal for trade scales are, they're kind of regulated by different public groups. And so the National Conference for Weights and Measures, you know, when there's a product being sold, they have this great equity principle where if it's not being a good instrument, then either the seller or the purchaser is losing out. And so being able to, you know, there's tons of regulations for scales and getting these evaluated in a way so that, you know, you ensure that when you go and purchase something, you're getting what you're buying. And so right now we see a lot of that in grocery stores and other markets. But over the past couple of years, the National Conference for Weights and Measures and the National Institute for Science and Technology, they've been kind of working on they have a cannabis task group, or Weights and Measures does, where they make recommendations for how to set up the regulations to address a lot of unknowns in the cannabis world for buying and selling, and have something that is very cohesive and leads to a better product and a better and equitable sales. So yes, I first started getting into the cannabis world officially by really kind of exploring scale regulations. Right about that time, then I started living on a hemp farm, and I kind of changed the way I thought about the world and kind of the direction I wanted to go in. And that's where Field Lab 7 was born, and just in the field. It was my field lab.
Now, you know, coming from, you know, you say you're a software developer, right? And kind of coming from this other side, this more technical side in that regard, and kind of from with scales. I mean, what was your viewpoint on hemp beforehand, cannabis beforehand, you know?
Beforehand, I loved it. Yeah. I still do.
Okay, cool.
But I didn't, you know, kind of coming from North Carolina, the market here isn't as mature as other areas. And so in the past few years, I've been learning all the stakeholders in the market and how from farm to final products, all the phases it goes through. And that's just been a mad dash adventure learning this. Every day there's something new to learn.
Yeah, definitely. And so you're coming in from, you know, from scales, right? Legal for trade scales. So what is that? I mean, in terms of, you know, from a layman, you know, we like to do some deep diving here, you know, how does that separate from just a regular scale, right? That you just get somewhere, and what is the point of legal for trade scales specifically?
So legal for trade scales, they're really designed to be super accurate. So there won't be any drifting of the weights. They have, lots of times the cheaper $20 scales we might get online, or in a small shop, they just, you know, the scale will drift, or you've set something on there and then you look at the scale and, you know, it looks like it's losing weight just by sitting there. And so, they're perfect, you know, even the unvalidated scales are good. But in a commercial setting, it's not optimal for the retailer or the purchaser, because there's a lot of unknowns. Let me see if I can think of a good example where, a lot of the scale legislation where, you know, several years ago when it first started out in medical market, and people could have their scale go down to a tenth of a gram. And when people would go into a dispensary and say, I'd like an ounce of this wonderful stuff, they were using enough divisions of the scale to make it metrologically significant. But then with those same scales that would go down to a tenth of a gram, when you would buy, just as the market started changing into a recreational market, and people would then come in and say, I'd like a gram of this and a gram of this, that precision of the scale wasn't precise enough in order for it to be, they say, metrologically significant. So it might not be completely accurate. So I believe on the West Coast, there were some states that it became more of a difficulty for, and many retailers had to purchase new scales because their scales just were not accurate enough. And so now I believe the recommendations currently say that the scales need to go down to a hundredth of a gram. And over the past few years, as the Cannabis Task Group with Weights and Measures has been trying to put together these rules to then give to the National Institute for Science and Technology in order to then publish for a larger standard. Once hemp became legal, they started to then adopt those regulations more quickly, I believe. But as far as cannabis, that's still until there's a federal change, I think it'll be, we'll have a lot more road bumps along the way.
I guess, you know, you're mentioning, right? So, I mean, aren't most kind of large scale commercial operations going to be having that already? Or is that something that they kind of need to enforce a little bit?
I think from a dispensary side, sometimes there hasn't been the, first I have to say the people in the cannabis community are the most ingenious. And so sometimes they would have a hanging scale that wasn't designed to be a hanging scale. And so they would really engineer something to place it up high and have beams hanging down. And then when the inspectors would come in and evaluate their scale technology, they would say, well, this isn't a hanging scale because it hasn't been evaluated as that. And so there was a bit of a learning curve in the market for the suitability of scales. And I think that's coming along pretty well now. There was some difficulty in the earlier times. And I certainly see that there's a whole lot of room for more efficient operations with more advanced scales. And so while a $20 scale is can get the job done, having something that integrates inventory management, kind of keeping track of certain regulatory concerns, then winds up helping the shop in the long run. So I think we'll see over the next few years, new scale uses in the cannabis industry and new form factors and things that really make dispensaries and shops overall more efficient and more compliant with regulations.
Very good, very good. And, you know, how does this all pertain to kind of FL7, the Field Laboratory 7, you know, scales and, you know, talking a little bit about what you guys are doing and how maybe that pertains and what else you guys are doing, have been going on?
We kind of split the focus between half with a CBD product development and half with building new projects related or kind of some other kind of hardware interfacing system. So we're definitely designing a pretty amazing scale. Probably that'll take a while to really ferret out and have it really meeting our expectations. Plus, it also kind of goes along with me learning a lot of the emerging markets and the needs that the scale needs to meet in order to achieve more efficiency for the retailers. So we Field Lab 7 is really set up not just as a right now we have, I'm putting all my focus into product development and getting more of a secure base and to support building of more machines and more systems that I think will be complementary to these markets. Along the way, as I was trying to learn all the parts of the emerging markets, or especially in the hemp market here, you know, kind of becoming a farmer and becoming a processor and learning each of those steps, was it was very laborious, but it helps me see what are all the pain points that individuals encounter across the country in this market. And so that's one of my goals, is to try to eliminate as many pain points as possible.
Amazing. I know that one of the things you guys are doing is, having your own products, right? So along with that comes product development, formulation, and talking about your processes with that, right? In terms of how do you get the right formulation for your products?
The formulation that we're working on several different products. Some are infused oils, and some are topicals. I think I'm a little OCD when it comes to perfecting it. We'll spend sometimes half a week just sanitizing every bottle I have available in order to then for the second half of the week just focus completely on figuring out what's the best way this recipe can be put together, and which stage do I add the CBD, and then to my great surprise, I find my mixer is just as important as my computer when it comes to making products. Being able to literally whip up a good oil is chief in making a very good, easily applying product.
No doubt about it. Are you guys just doing product formulation for yourselves for Field Lab 7, or doing it for other companies as well?
We're just doing it for ourselves right now. Our approach is, we're only going to stand behind the things that we're going to actually use. And so everything that I'm making, I'm 100% a believer in. And so we've been talking with a few other companies and in the early stages of that. But right now we're just doing all of our development for our purposes right now.
Very good. And, talking about those formulations, I know one of the main products you have there is for CBD for dogs, right? Can you talk to me a little bit about the focus on that, how that came about, and kind of the goal for that?
Yeah, this was actually what really got me first into developing CBD products. After I had my first harvest and I was just sitting on, lots and lots of hemp. I didn't quite know the direction I wanted it to take next. And my father called me up and, he said, "Hey, do you think your CBD can help my dog?" And I said, "Let me check." And so, his dog had arthritis and couldn't walk up. She was 10 years old and couldn't walk up and down the stairs anymore. And I said, you know, let me make you an extract, and I'll send it up to you. And so within 2 days, his dog was able to walk up and down the stairs again. And his appetite came back and accused me his dog had munchies. I said, Doritos will fix that. It'll certainly, you know, a great way to see how CBD was being, how it was being able to benefit somebody else who wasn't, didn't have a, who couldn't lie to me. So, and with the current laws, you know, I certainly can't promote it as a, this is great for your dog, or else the FDA will.
You can say it's great for the dog. You just can't say this is going to cure their arthritis or something like that, you know? So,
yeah. So I have to, yeah. So anyway, it's been a great process, and the dog is having a great time. Lots of people come to me now for to ask me questions about how it might help their dog. And I think lately I've been really enjoying, as I keep on refining the products, then I'll go to the gas station close by my lab and give them to everybody at the gas station. And, you know, and then just this continual feedback on, oh, this really helped my joint pains, or this helped my shoulders. Is really very encouraging.
Amazing. I guess, you know, that's everybody loves their dog and wants to do the best for their dog, I guess, you know, so definitely opens opportunity there, I guess.
I do have to say that I believe Nevada right now is the only state that is currently testing with animals, or I think they're leading that direction. So I have to give a shout out for Nevada for looking at CBD for animal health more seriously.
Definitely in the United States, right? So I think there's plenty more going on to the United States, but definitely need a lot more, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but, you know, definitely excited to see more progress being done in that regard as well. So then we can, you know, be able to say certain things that we know already that it'll help out with. So I guess, you know, obviously, you know, getting in the cannabis space, you know, hemp space, one that's hard to navigate in, right? So, I mean, you talk about how you entered a little bit. How'd you go into kind of learning the ins and outs of hemp and everything like that? Do you have a mentor, or how'd you go about kind of learning all that and getting to where you are now?
A couple of years ago, I was moving into a new place, and I had a good friend who was a grower from Colorado, and we both kind of shared this view on it being, you know, good medicine and trying to help the emerging markets. And he was, his name's Ronnie. He was really instrumental in helping me. You know, we engineered a new farm. And he kind of taught me things all along the way about, you know, this is the right way to start from little plants to big plants, the all the stages in between. You know, he was a master grower, and so it was, I was really privileged to be able to learn from somebody like that and get, you know, skip a few years of kind of running into different walls. Then after that, it was, you know, really watching a lot of YouTube in order to figure out some ways to start, and then the extraction directions and learning about some easy ways to start breaking into the market. And when, you know, I think at first I was discouraged with North Carolina and only having a CBD market, but then as entering in this space in this industry, having to worry about THC remediation was actually a blessing in disguise, because it helped me refine my skills in the areas of focus I had to really look into. And so hopefully one day I won't have to remediate the THC quite as much.
Exactly. No, it's great. And, you know, I guess now here, right, with Field Lab 7, what's kind of been your biggest obstacle, and what obstacle are you still facing? How are you able to overcome that?
I think the biggest obstacle is just gaining more experience and more development. And so over the past few months, I've had enough capital to continue just refining the products and, so I guess the biggest obstacle is just gaining that experience for what I really want to ensure the targets I'm reaching and then just putting in that effort for it. Even though we're, you know, I've only had this, a new lab facility for a few months. One of the things I used to kind of help me get ahead of things was setting up a Christmas party. And now I'm, you know, have 10 different products I'm trying to give away to lots of different people who come to the party. And, and so just kind of using every little bit of experience along the way to keep refining and, really perfecting the approach that I'm taking. But there's so many great individuals in the community and in this market that to learn from that I'm constantly thankful of, the community.
That's great. Yeah, community definitely takes a long way, and especially in emerging markets, right? You know, where maybe it's the, you know, it's kind of a catch 22, right? Where maybe the awareness isn't there as much, or the demand isn't there as much, but also the saturation, right? You know, not as many people maybe doing it locally as you are, right? So I guess in that respect, what kind of separates Field Lab 7 from maybe competitors or other people doing the same thing, whether in North Carolina or out of North Carolina?
One thing that really separates us is I think the experience that we have. It's, you know, we're a group of scientists and farmers, and you know, we our footprint is really small, but we've had, you know, the most amazing experience with really big pharmaceutical companies ensuring FDA compliance with products in the past outside of the cannabis world, and being able to approach these markets with systems to ensure that the quality will always be as high as possible. So I think but that's certainly one of the things that separates us from our competitors. And I often don't really see them as, you know, another one of my friends down the street is he has a great hemp store, and but the market is still emerging, and so I don't quite see us as competitors. We're just fighting the same battle.
I love that. I love that for sure. You know, like you said, especially in emerging markets, it's really great to support each other, right, and not break each other down. And just in general, anyways, you know, I always feel like there's plenty to go around, and you know, if we do a lot better when we do support each other and help each other and build a you know, the industry for what it is, instead of, you know, kind of starting these little fights and stuff that sometimes just end up, you know, divide and conquer in this kind of certain sense, you know. But so great. You know, what can we expect now from Field Lab 7 in the future? Anything cool coming up besides anything we've talked about?
We have we're refining our labels for one of our first product releases, and it's just a simple infused oil. We call it snake oil. Everybody for the past few years, when I would try to give them my extract, they would always say, "You got some more of that snake oil?" And so that's coming up. And I'm hoping next year we're kind of working on some, you know, some new tools that I think will help farmers do more in-field testing of their cannabinoids and be able to see, get, instead of having to, you know, send it off to a lab to test and see what their CBD levels are at, and THC levels, just a little bit of spectroscopy can help them kind of see how the cannabinoids can dissolve into a solution right in the middle of the field. So we do have a few more tools that are outside of the, for ones that are more directed towards farmers and small, similar people that are trying to, having to face all these little hurdles by themselves.
Very good. Very good. A lot of exciting stuff for sure. Now, I guess, you know, switching gears slightly, you know, you hear you coming from software development, right? And, you know, coming in from different angles into the hemp industry. And, but, you know, you have kind of a diverse kind of background and everything like that, and a unique way of looking at things. And this is my favorite question asking anybody, right? So, I mean, how do you define success, Brian? You know, whether it be professionally, personally, spiritually, otherwise, right? What does success look like for you?
I believe success is more, am I enjoying what I'm doing? If I'm not, passionately running towards it, then I don't feel like I'm doing it correctly. And so a lot of times in setting up a new business, they're in there's so many hats we have to wear. And, and sometimes it can be exhausting constantly, but it still has that feeling of, I feel good about what I'm doing. So for me, that's what success is to ensure that I always feel good about what I'm doing, and that these products and solutions are helping people.
No, exactly. I love that, because, you know, obviously sometimes we get into something with the best intentions and, you know, later on you wonder, how did I get here? Right. I used to love this, you know, kind of thing. So I'm grateful. I love what I do. And same thing, you know, I think that's super important, right? Enjoying what we do, enjoying the process, because there's ups and downs. There's a lot of barriers. If you're not having fun doing it, it's just, you know, it's easy to want to throw in the, you know, throw in the towel kind of thing, and find easier routes, you know. So definitely enjoying it along the way and enjoying the process, and just accepting that there's going to be, you know, fun stuff along the journey. So appreciate that. And then definitely appreciate you too as well, Brian. You know, thanks for jumping on with me. Now, you know, as we close, how can listeners find out more about you, find out more about Field Laboratory 7 and connect with you, buy your products and all that fun stuff?
Our website is fieldlab7, the number 7, .com. And we'll be having some more products. We don't have any products listed on there right now as I've been developing them. But they'll be there by the end of the year. If anybody, you know, is a scale geek like me, feel, or anything, they just want to say, hey, or Brian, I don't like your glasses. That's why that contact us button is on a page. And it's, we're just happy to, this is a wild ride, and I'm very, very happy to be along it with it.
Very good. Very good. Well, Brian, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. So everybody go check out that. And probably by the time this comes out, you know, go check it out right now, because I think the products are up now. So enjoy that. Check out Field Lab 7 and their snake oil. So Brian, I appreciate you. Thanks very much for jumping on with me. And thank you everybody else for listening wherever you're at. So good luck to you and the rest of the year, this new year and beyond.
Thank you very much, Maynard.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dank Discussions. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review. We want to continue making dank content you want to hear, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's grow@calacann.com. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter for our latest updates.